worshiping God together. I have only a very short message to share with you. Actually, you probably know that already, but God's Word actually needs to be re-emphasized again and again and again. Sometimes we heard it, but we didn't seem to actually know it. So today we're looking at the passage that Winnie has just read for us in the book of Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. But before we go on into this passage, I'd like to ask you one question. Do you want to be a success? This is kind of a lame question, right? Do you want to be a success? Of course, the answer is yes. Everyone wants to be a success. Especially Chinese parents. And they want the kids to be successful. Winning is not everything. It's actually the only thing. That's why I live. If I don't win, why do I exist at all? We don't want to be dishonored. We want to be glorified. We want to be successful so that people may look at us, wow, excellent. And that's why sometimes we are not too honest, because we do not want to share the shameful things in our past, hurtful things that are hidden behind us. We don't want everyone to know everything about us. So we are not as to the forefront. Sometimes we want to hide things. And that makes our life kind of uncomfortable, because we don't want to be open. But if a person can accept everything of his history, then he'll be totally open, or she'll be totally open. And I'm not afraid of people pointing finger at me, because I already accepted myself. And let me tell you, God has accepted you. God has accepted me. Sometimes I don't accept myself, and that's why I'm kind of embarrassed. I don't want to tell you what happened last year or what happened in my childhood. It's nothing good. But in order to cover those shame, we want to let other people know my glory. I graduated from Acadia High School. Wow. Success. You know what I got in my SAT? Wow, success. You know, which college have I been admitted to? Boy, you may not be able to believe it. Success. So everyone wants to be successful. Actually, according to the Bible, the ultimate goal of our salvation is that we would be glorified again. The situation with human race was that we are just too shameful to admit who we are. And one day, when God is receiving us, He tell us, you don't have to be ashamed anymore. You just come to me. I embrace you. You're my kids. I love you. And that's the ultimate goal of salvation. Ultimate goal of salvation is to be glorified again, which is the original state of Adam and Eve when they were in the Garden of Eden. So right now we are craving for success. We're craving for getting to be number one. Winning is not everything. Winning is the only thing. Iacocca, the former CEO of Chrysler, has said, we want to be the best. We don't want to let the Japanese cars take over the market anymore. We want to be the best. Carnegie says, aim high, look up, and look forward. And that's our goal. Academic successes means ultimate success. Chinese parents, you should tell the kids, you know, you don't have to do anything else, but just make sure you get A's and A's and A's in your grade book. And this is the only thing. Actually, I read an article in the Chinese Christian Herald Crusade. They were making comments that Chinese parents think that the only thing that the kids need to do is to get good grades, because that's the way to success, right? Don't worry about anything else. But we know that admission officers now do not only look at grades. They look at how you perform, how you are functioning as a person in your school. Is academic success is the ultimate success? Perhaps, but not all the time. we see college dropouts like Bill Gates becoming a millionaire. We see many people who are successful without going to college. So academic successes do not equal ultimate success. That's kind of opposite to most Chinese parents. The way to the top is to get good grades, right? Do you agree? Yeah, 90%. So you have to tell yourself, my place is at the top. But the question is, how do you get there? And people would say, set high goal, think big, have positive attitude, have confidence in yourself, and do this self-talk. Tell yourself, you can do it, get it, give it your best shot, go for the gold. We have been taught like that, not only our Chinese parents, but the whole school, the world is telling us, you have to get to the top. And if you're not out there, you're going to be losing. You're not getting to be successful at all. But then Jesus came along. He teaches us how to be successful too. He answers the same question, but he gave a very, very different answer. He succeeded, by the way, he succeeded. He has achieved the highest position, the highest a person can ever get in one's life. Of course, the question is, yeah, we all want successes, but how do we get there? Jesus suggested a very radical path, which you and I perhaps may not immediately embrace. And probably at the end of the sermon or the message, you probably say, oh, I heard that before. I'll do the same thing I did before. But Jesus was used to be this kind of responses. People had been rejecting his teaching because they were not willing to go through what he wanted them to go through. Jesus said in his teaching, the way to go up is down. If you want to be first, be the last. If you want to be the boss, be the servant. And you think to yourself, this is ridiculous. This is totally illogical. It doesn't work that way. When we look at the society, it didn't seem to be proving this thesis. The disciples of Jesus himself didn't seem to have learned either. They dreamed success. Success for them is to have a high place in the government, sitting right next to the president, perhaps. So, James and John, you heard about them already. Their parents, their mom actually came to Jesus and asked for a prestigious position next to Christ when he gains power. Perhaps you're thinking of some political revolution. If Jesus had established his kingdom against the Roman government, and now we are being disciples, we should be sitting right next to him. We would be in the inner cabinet, right? We'll be in the, if they have a White House, they'd be living in the White House. Jesus taught his disciples to be servants, which we do not like very much. Matthew chapter 20:28 was talking about how we should be going a different direction than the world is teaching us to go. Matthew 20:27 says, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Matthew 20:28 says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Matthew 23:12 says, for whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. His teaching was very clear, very simple, very direct. It's only that it's too simple, it's too clear, too direct. We just can't take it in at all. But he didn't just teach that. He lived that. Jesus has come to the earth to serve people selflessly. He gave himself up for the purpose of getting to the highest position. He teaches by words as well as by examples. Look at his conduct. What did he do? That's the question we ask. A lot of people are teaching us things. Words seem to be so logical. We may want to, well, yeah, what you said is right, but your life doesn't reflect that at all. So the main thing to find out that we do is to find out what he actually do, not what he says. Smart people would look at what people are doing, not just what a person is saying. So the question we ask is Jesus' teaching true? And of course, being Christian, we always say yes, of course, yes. But what he said was that the way to go to the top is to go down. The way to go to the top is to go down. Illogical. Impossible. But when we look at the passage from the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 9 to 11, which is what we call the kenosis passage. Theologian, biblical scholar are saying that this is actually a hymn that the early church had been using in their worship of extolling the greatness of their Lord Jesus Christ. The kenosis passage. We have been trying to understand what exactly he was trying to teach. The kenosis passage. We call the self-emptying of Christ. He emptied himself. So we look at this passage more clearly. Before he was being exalted, he was in a different situation. He was, as described in this hymn, the verses in the same chapter, chapter 2, verses 6 to 8. First of all, he held a lofty position. He's the highest in the whole universe. No one else could control him or tell him what to do. He's the highest. But then he yielded his legitimate right. He has the right to say whatever he wants to say, and then that happens. But he didn't use it. He emptied his divine glory. That means he's supposed to be worshipped. But even if he's not worshipped, he didn't get mad. Just let you go. And then he came to earth. He took the lowly place of a servant. He was serving people. That's not enough yet. He died a death of utter humility. The lowest kind of death a person can experience at that time of history. Death on a cross. Shameful death. Humiliating death. The worst criminal would be punished like this. So he has descended to the lowest. He started from the highest, and now he is at the lowest point in his life. But then the question we ask again is it really the way to the top is to go down? Really, the way to the top is down? What exactly happened to him? So we try to read the passage again, trying to find a word that we perhaps might have missed. Philippians 2, chapter 9 to 11, again and again and again. What did we miss? How did he get from the top to the bottom and then from the bottom to the top again? How did he go through this journey? So verse 9 says, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. That is the name of Jesus. Every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So we miss something. Perhaps we don't usually pay attention to these kind of words, which is we call conjunction. We just mumble these conjunctions. In the songs we sing, we always just mumble. And he rise, and we didn't hear the word and. All these conjunctions are very important. Especially during Bible study, people tell us that when you see the word therefore, you should pay attention. You should know why it is there for. Yeah. What it is there for. When you see the word therefore. Therefore is a kind of a cause and effect word telling us that what happened before is causing what's happening following. So when we look at this word, therefore, in verse 9, we see that Jesus being raised to the top was because of what he did before. What he did before was that he had forsaken his high position and took the low position of being a servant and die the death of the utter humility. And this is why the verses 9 to 11 happened. That is, why did God exalt him? The reason why was because what he did before. And now that's what happened. So the cause and the effect. The cause was his humiliation, his humility. The effect was that he was raised high. He was up to the top. He is becoming the strongest, the most sovereign person. So because of verses 5 to 8, we have verses 9 to 11. The reason was he humbled himself. So the way to the top, according to this passage, is to go down and down and down until you're the uttermost, lowest, and then you go to the top. So Christ is our example. If this is the principle, by the way, if you believe the word of God here in the Bible, if this is a true principle is not a theory. It's something that has been proven to be true in whatever circumstances. That means if we humble ourselves, this will happen. This will be lifted up too. So you can test this principle to see if it works or not. And Jesus continued to teach the same truth again and again. Matthew chapter 23 verse 12 says, "For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." His disciples, referred to as brother of Jesus. James 4:10 says, "Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up." He taught the same thing. 1 Peter, this is the closest disciple to Jesus, chapter 5, verse 6, he says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time." This is his teaching. So we again ask the same question. How do we get to the top? We want to be at the top. We're supposed to be there. But how do we get there? The answer, of course, is learn from Jesus. How did he get to the top? How did he get to the top? He seemed to be saying, the way to the top is to go down, down, down. Be humble. And whatever happened here in these verses 9 to 11, tells us that because of his humility, his humble attitude, he ultimately arrived at the goal. Verse 9 and the first sentence, God exalted him to a supreme position. It says, "Therefore God exalted him to the highest place." Where is the highest place? We don't know, but we know that's the place that we want to get to. The word exalted here translated was actually a word made up of two words in Greek. One means lift, and then the other means is a kind of preposition extra to add more to it. That means he was lifted up to a super abundant measure over and above the usual standard. It's not a normal lifting. It's actually an action that gives him extra glory, extra credit. God has raised him above all positions in history. He is to be resurrected. He was ascended to heaven. He was crowned. He had the coronation. He was seated at the right hand of God. Now these, you can say physical lifting. It's not actually spiritual lifting or when we look at what we want, perhaps we're not exactly looking at these kind of things. But according to the Bible, we know that he had experienced all these because of his death. He was now seated at the right hand of God, the highest height of glory. In John 17, Jesus was praying with his disciples before he knew that he would be going to the cross. And he was praying for himself, for his disciples, and for the disciples of his disciples. The main thing was for his glory to be restored. He has given up his glory because he came to earth to save human race. So at the last point of his journey, he was asking God the Father to glorify him. to glorify Him again, because this is the time that I should be lifted up again. And about the disciples, we are not sure how much they would be glorified, but we knew that they got martyred and they suffered a lot. And then the disciples, we heard in the history, church history, many people, because of their faith, that had been persecuted and killed. Glorified? What do you mean by glorified? They're not glorified. But we can be sure that these are not the end of the story yet, because we have not come to the ultimate end. The ultimate end is not here yet. The Bible says they will be glorified. Now, we can be sure that we are not gods. Jesus is God. Jesus is qualified, and He is worthy of being glorified, of course. But according to Jesus' promise, He said, I will be glorified, but you will be glorified along with Me, because you will be next to Me. Why do we have eternal life? Because we are serving an eternal God. A person who has only limited life cannot serve an eternal God. You have to have eternal life in order to serve an eternal God, because He lives forever. So being His servant, we would be living forever also. So He was telling us the way to the top is go down, go down. That means not putting ourselves up and putting others down, recognizing the importance of others over ours, putting others' interests before our own. These are what Jesus had been doing as His way of showing that these are the ways to get to the top. So when are we letting go of our legitimate rights? When we do that, will we be lifted up? Sometimes. Sometimes not. But as I told you, this is not the end yet. We are just on a journey. We are not there yet. So when we come to the end, that means when we are all in heaven, as promised by our Lord Jesus, we'd be surprised when we get there, because we see things that we could not imagine could have happened. That unknown person who had been sitting at the back, at the corner, no one listened to him, no one cares about him. Now he was being lifted up to the prominent position. Oh, it's because he was humble. He had been serving quietly. No one seems to notice. No one even actually care or mention his name. But he was being put in a very prominent position in heaven, because that is what Jesus said. You want to go up? Go down. The second thing that our Lord Jesus was given was that He was given a name that is above all names. Second part of verse 9. A name that is above every name. A glorious name. You sometimes wonder, what kind of name? Isn't His name Jesus? Yes, we always call Him Jesus. But there had been other names being addressed to Him. Does Jesus have other names? You and I would be very curious. We want to find out, you know, what exactly are His other names. But to fulfill our curiosity is not the purpose of life, so just put it aside for now. And we know that He's going to have other names. Those other names would describe his real nature. And actually, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 10, the following verse says, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Everyone, when they hear the name Jesus, they would just bow. What kind of name? Very surprising. According to the Old Testament, we know that the Jewish people called God Jehovah, but actually they don't call Him Jehovah, they just call Him Adonai. Adonai means Lord, Lord. They don't dare to utter the real name of a person. They just have this four-letter word, YHWH, which we cannot pronounce, so we add some vowels to it, and we call it Yahweh, Yahweh. So Jehovah is actually Yahweh. So the modern translations of the Bible would translate that as Lord, L-O-R-D, all in capital letter. Jesus is the Jehovah God, and He is Lord, because His own people had been addressing Him as Lord. You are My Lord. When you are my Lord, that means I'm your servant. I'm here to serve you. I just listen to whatever you say. You ask me to do it, I'll do it. This is radical, absolute obedience because he's Lord. The Romans called Caesar Lord because they recognized their king as God. And they actually knew down. Many Chinese people do that too for the king because they think he is the highest, the most sovereign person. So we just knew in front of him. He is not only Lord, but he's God. So the term Lord is very important. When they use it, doesn't mean that just this a regular master. He is actually Lord of all. The motto of the first century church was that Jesus is Lord. He is the highest. Jesus is Lord. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that Jesus, that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. This is the condition for salvation. The condition for salvation is not baptism. The condition for salvation is not membership at the St. Gabriel Valley Alliance Church. The condition for salvation is that you have to confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. If you fulfill these conditions, you'll be saved. You are saved. But of course, you can't vote at SGVAC if you're not a member. And you can be elected because these are the earthly rules. But according to the heavenly rules, your salvation is the fact that you have confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you have believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Jesus is Lord. So if you're a Christian, you must confess Jesus is Lord because he's God. No one can say Jesus is just a good teacher, he's an admirable person, but he's not my Lord. I would choose and pick whatever he teaches. He is actually the Lord of the whole universe. And he should be the Lord of my life as well. God gave him the name above all names. That means there are some names that we do not know now, but on the last day, those names will be reviewed. I didn't know that I have other names. I was given the Chinese name Wu Ye Kun when I was born. But then when I went to primary school, my teacher said that you guys have all these Chinese names, Ching Chong Chang, Ka Ka Tang. It's too hard to pronounce. Let me give you an English name. So I got the name Michael. But then, these are only reflecting the wishes of those people who gave me the names. The person who gave me the name Michael, perhaps they wanted me to be like God. But I'm not like God at all. I strive to be like God, but this I'm doing it in vain. I have some real name that God has given me that has not revealed to me yet at this time. So I'm curious. I'm longing to for that day when God would tell me, your real name is this, blah, blah, blah. And then I realize that, oh, that's why I live like this, because my real name is a different name. It's describing my true nature. So in Revelation 2:17, he said everyone would have new names. Those new names are not known to other people. They're secretive. But the person who gets that name would understand. 2:17 of Revelation says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is just simply like, listen to me. Don't turn around. Don't be distracted. Listen to me. He who has an ear, let him hear. And he said, to him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. Oh, they are hidden manna? Wow. Chinese people like food. Wow, manna. Good, excellent. I will also give him a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to him who receives it. No one else knows it. It's not going to be a shameful name. It's not a nickname. When I was young, I was given a terrible nickname, Big Yam, I was called, because I was fat and short. And I don't like that. I said, I'm not Big Yam. But perhaps this is not my real name. I hope it's not my real name. My real name would be different. My real name is reflect reflecting what God wants me to do and what God has seen me do on earth. And on the last day, we'll be given a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to you, the one who received that name. You know, a name reflects dignity and position. And that's why we hate nicknames. Nicknames are no good. We don't like President Trump calling people names because those are terrible nicknames. We just kick them out. And that's why we don't like him. But he doesn't mean it, of course. A real name reflects dignity and position. President means that he has authority. He is sitting in a different chair. He calls out order for things for the whole country to follow. Vice president, he has his role. Position, dignity, power. Manager, I'm the manager. I'm supposed to be calling out order for things to happen. Chief executive officer of a company has dignity and position. Many, many other titles or names are reflecting the dignity and position. In heaven, who has the honor and glory? The question we ask is, would we be given a good name? And that's what happened to Jesus when he humbled himself. God gave him the name above all names. The third thing that happened to him after he humbled himself was in verses 10 and 11. Verses 10 says, and 11 says, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God gave him universal honor. That means everyone honors him, not just people sitting next to him, not just the 12 disciples, actually only 11 disciples, not just the people had been craving for his five loaves and two fish thing miracles, not his fans, not only people in his family, but universal, everyone, includes everyone that can be breathing. Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is not Lord of just the Christians. Jesus is not just Lord of the Jewish people. Jesus is not Lord of some ignorant people. Jesus is the Lord of all, every person. The whole universe will bow to him and acknowledge his lordship. This is prophetic because this is not happening right now. There are people still cursing him, rejecting him, kick him away. They're not calling him Lord. But this is prophetic. That means that this is going to be true when that day comes. This has not happened yet. In the book of Hebrews chapter 2 verse 8 says, in putting everything under him, God left nothing that is not subject to him. Yet at present, we do not see everything subject to him. He was kind of just a name outside there. Other people worshiping him. Oh, who cares? We don't worry about him. But that day would come when everyone would be bowing to him. And Peter, actually not Peter, but Paul was putting these in three categories. The people who would be bowing to him. Those in heaven, I suppose those in heaven would be angels, of course. They are living there most of the time. Sometimes they come to earth. And those on earth, I suppose they would be the human race that are living during the millennial kingdom when Jesus was being Lord over all. And he also mentioned those under heaven. Those under heaven, where are these people? I suppose it would be hell, the devil and his people. They would be calling out, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord, he is Lord, he is Lord, he is risen from the dead and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Wow. But of course, some people were yelling out these words very excitedly, enthusiastically, but some people were just yelling kind of reluctantly. Yeah, he's Lord, he's Lord, anyway, he's Lord. There's some people who may not doing too willingly, but they have to do it anyway because at the last day,
He is the ultimate one in control. The question we ask is, do you acknowledge him as Lord? Jesus said, those who serve me, my Father will honor. The humble, God will raise them up. Those who are serving, you would not always be just that person whom people are yelling at and be just doing whatever other people didn't want to do. But God would raise you up. John 12:26 says, whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. How much value do you put on others? Jesus said, if you're humble, you will be exalted. John Stumble is the president of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. He had a terrible experience in his life, actually. When he was a young guy, he had been in the church quite actively. He's quite talented. He was an athlete. He jogged and runs. He was very healthy. But then, during one year, something happened to his body. He lost his voice. He lost his strength. He felt that he almost died. So he gave himself totally up to the Lord, saying that, Lord, whatever you want me to do, just continue to work on me. He was humble. He recognized the healing power of our Lord Jesus. And about 6 years ago, he was elected to be the president of Christian Missionary Alliance. A very smart person, but he was hit by earthly tragic situations. But when we are willing to be humble, acknowledging that the ultimate control is in God's hand, then God will lift us up in due time. We do not crave for support from people. Whether they give it or not, it's up to them. But the most important thing is whether God accepts us, whether God says, yes, you're doing right. Jesus taught it and proved it with his example. So we must do it God's way. The thesis is the way to the top is down. So if we imitate Jesus, we have to repeat what he did. Verses 3 and 4 in the previous part of this chapter. Verse 3 was calling us to be humble. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Verse 4 exhorting us to be helping others. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Be humble and serve others and help others. So the questions that I have for you today are two. First question, do you want to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord today? Perhaps you're just thinking about it. You have not yet decided. But let me tell you, in the last day, whether you're willing or not, you're going to have to acknowledge Jesus as Lord. Whether you're in heaven, on earth, or under the earth, which I hope you would not go. But you will still be acknowledging the Lordship of Christ. Why don't you do it now, when you're still on earth? This is a wise choice. So hope that you would acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord today. Tell Pastor Dave afterwards if you want to make that decision. The second question I want to ask you is, do you want to imitate Jesus in his humility, which sometimes we could not define and we just make our own decision? But there are actions coming with it. The action is the humble attitude that we should have. That is considering others better than ourselves, knowing that there are always things in other people which we do not know how to do. The dumbest person can teach us something, you know. So look up to these people. There are values in other people around us. And the actual thing that we can do is to help others. Do things that other people cannot do or will not do so that they would be able to achieve their goals. That's what Jesus did. He was humble. He went down from the highest position to a low position. And then he helped others. so that people can solve the problems. Let us continue to follow God's rule. The way to the top is to go down. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your teaching. It's so radically different from what we have been taught in school.